I'd like for us this morning to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We do live in a world in which there's a lot of unrest and uncertainty. But when it comes to the matter of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving eternal life, there's no uncertainty about it. I met a man one time. He was intoxicated. I gave him a piece of literature, a tract, and he said, "Oh, I've read many of these." He says, "I know Jesus. You know Jesus. You don't know the same Jesus I know. Because if you did, you wouldn't be drunk like you are right now. And in the place that you are right now. Why is it today there's so much confusion sometimes when people hear about someone being a Christian?" Well, those that profess to be saved sometimes can really confuse the world about what it's all about being a new creature in Christ Jesus. I do believe that the man that receives the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior becomes a new creature in Christ Jesus. I believe old things pass away and all things, they've become new. It's a new way of life. What we're going to read in Ephesians this morning is a message that concerns our walk, our manner of life, the way we live, as those that say we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Beginning at verse 17 in Ephesians chapter 4. Our Heavenly Father, as we read these words found in the Word of God, grant, we pray thee, that the Spirit of God will take them and make them very real to us. Help us to understand, as the Spirit of God gives enlightenment, and he does, to the truth of the Word of God. Those of us in this room that say we know the Lord Jesus Christ, oh Lord, I pray that others will see him in us. If there'll be strong evidence that we have a changed life, we have a changed direction for everything that we do in life, we do ask your blessing, do receive our thanks. In the name of the Lord Jesus we pray. Amen. Verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul is speaking, and he says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, there's a song, I wish we would sing it here more often, and those from the platform that provide us with music, it's that song, He Touched Me. You know, the first time I ever heard that song, it just made me feel very sensitive about what it was like the very moment that I sensed that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had touched me, that my life had changed. I started to say it kind of tingled, but I don't want to put too much emphasis upon feelings. But I'm telling you, there was a feeling there that I really liked. And I began to rejoice in it. Something has happened in my life. It's never happened before. And that's what this is all about. The Apostle Paul was a man that, well, you know something about his life. He did not like Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was a devout man, a devout Jew. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. This man knew religion, but he didn't know Christ. And he met Christ one day, and my, what a change took place. You know, I've often said, I can't see how anybody can say, He touched me, and there not be a change in your life. If He touched you, if you received Him into your life, and you've become a possessor of eternal life, it just has to be a change. Things are different now since He came into my life. Many people talk about alternative lifestyles. And most people have a lifestyle, a way they live, a way they do, with a way they respond to the issues of life. I want and desire for everyone that I know that doesn't know Him to know Him. Because I'll tell you this, when He touches your life, it really makes a difference. The 17th verse, to me, it speaks of a walk that some have in life. There's a sense of futility in it. Do you know you're saved? No, I don't think so. Someone asked me that one time. I said, saved from what? Are you saved? You'd be surprised how many people have introduced something else. And religion is the thing that today is being endorsed and accepted. And I say religious, I'm thinking about religious right. I'm thinking about creeds that are adopted. I'm thinking about a whole lot of things that do not include the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a certain futility about it. The Word of God says you're on one of two roads. You're on a broad road that leads to destruction. That's the futility of a life without Christ. The man that doesn't know that one day he will open his eyes and he will be in torment. That's what this futility that I'm talking about is all about. And yet people are lulled to sleep. The God of this world that blinds the minds of those who will not believe the glorious gospel of Christ who is the image of God, lest the light should shine in. Tell you what, since the day I trusted him, and all that I know that really know him, he has made a difference. My lifestyle is different. I'm no longer living in ignorance. I don't have to say when someone asks me, do you know you're going to heaven when you die? Yes, sir. I'm just as sure of it as I'm standing here today. You really know when you die you're going to heaven. You're going to be with God. Yes, yes. Most people will say what you know, and I've heard so much, I sure hope so. I don't want to die and go to hell. Well, you can know. And the Word of God says that we must know. It wants us to have that assurance. There's going to be a difference in your life. You've got to have him. And the ignorance that is talked about in these verses, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. You know, ignorance can be something that a person that doesn't know, and sometimes I've heard this expression, what you don't know won't hurt you. I don't think a bigger lie has ever been told than that one. What you don't know won't hurt you. You go jump out the window of a two-story building and you'll find out. I thought it was on the ground floor. You thought. Your ignorance of where you were when you jumped out that window cost you two broken legs and a broken backbone. Won't hurt you. It will hurt you. And believe me, beloved, the people that today do not believe that God has loved the world and given his only begotten Son to be the Savior of the world and to give to men and women eternal life, that kind of ignorance will hurt you unless you believe. Unless you believe. Doesn't make any difference. What you don't know won't hurt you. It will hurt you. And I'm telling you, it's eternal. It's a hurt that doesn't just start and then stop over a given period of time. I'll get well, my broken legs will heal, and so forth. You won't ever get over the ignorance that says it doesn't matter. It does matter. The kind of insensitivity who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work out all uncleanliness with greediness. I sometimes look at people that are in the world without the Lord, and they're living life with what they call a zest. Man, I'm living life and I'm living it to the fullest. Give me another one. You know. You see, it's all false. Has a false basis. For that person that has shut God out of his life. For that person that will not recognize the lovely Son of God who left heaven's glory and came down to this world to identify with the lights of us so that we might not live in despair and ignorance and futility. To have new life in Christ is a wonderful experience. We have the Word of God. You know, the Gideons come and they tell us about, and they don't have to tell us this, we invite them here because we want to promote the spread of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Can you imagine what it would be like if you didn't have the Word of God? Someone asks you, how do you know that's true. God's Word tells me that's what's true. That's why I believe it. I believe God, and I believe God's Word. And this Word certainly provides me with the kind of direction. The child of God, his feet have been placed upon the pathway of righteousness for the glory of God. Isn't it wonderful to know that this change having taken place, I'm no longer walking on the broad road. I may be on a narrow road, but my walk and all that is a part of me is so different. And I'm walking in complete accord with the will of God. To know that you're walking according to His will is awesome to think about. But it can thrill your soul. Because what started with a touch, your first contact with Him, and what has expanded and delivered you from ignorance and all of the other things that keep men and women in darkness. You're not in the dark, you're in the light. A lifestyle that's taught by this wonderful Word of God. You know, we hear a lot about that relationship with Him. We develop relationships with people. Some people we develop a real friendship with. Get real close to that person. You begin to talk with each other about things that are kind of private. That relationship becomes something that is very meaningful. I trust that every child of God in this room this morning, you have a time every day that you spend with Him. That you read His Word. You talk to Him. You begin to look around. Talk to Him? Yes. Yes. This kind of causes somebody to begin to move away from you. Talk to Him. Where is He? He's everywhere. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's in my heart. I have His mind. I know Him. He's real. He's real. The Son of God. Yes, He's real. And every child of God that stays in fellowship with Him knows that He really is real. But if all of this is to come to fruition and is to become real in your life, there's something that has to happen. And we find that out in that 22nd verse. Put off concerning the former conversation your old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I've heard some people say that I was a good person before I was saved. And I've heard other people say I was a bad person before I was saved. No doubt about it. I was just rotten. I was just terrible. I know why people didn't like me. It was because of the way I behaved, my conduct. And I know why God had rejected me. Because I didn't have His Son in my life and all of the things that were so despicable and people didn't like. Put off concerning the former conversation. I've heard men say that were given to the use of profanity. And when I got saved, I lost half of my vocabulary. Man that used to preach from this platform. He's home with the Lord now. He said, before I got saved, I couldn't talk without using profanity. I had to emphasize everything I said with authority. With things that most people didn't want to hear. It was disgusting. not only your conversation, but everything you do in your life. Your conversation, your manner of life, the way you live is different. What's wrong with that guy? Every time I turn around, he's reading his Bible. He's talking to someone about spiritual things. He's talking about the need in the world today of a revival, that we as a nation seems like that we're going down the dark, bad road that they talk about. And it's all going to end up in judgment before God. Well, yes, that's exactly what's going to happen. It's exactly what's going to happen. You say, why? Because God said that's the way it's going to happen. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know that outer defilement that you wanted to get rid of? Did you ever try to quit a bad habit? Nobody in here has a bad habit. But you have a bad habit and you want to stop it. And you really are determined. I can remember a member of my family that smoked all his life. He wanted to quit. He tried, he tried, he tried. He could not quit smoking. And he died with lung cancer. That was my brother. He had a bad habit. He couldn't quit it. And it killed him. All bad habits are that way. They take their toll in time. That person that drinks booze all the time. Because I have to have it, and I can't break the habit. Well, listen, I've known people that were addicted to drugs. I know people that have been addicted to alcohol and any other thing you can think of. And they found the Lord, and Jesus Christ came into their heart, and they were changed. And the old habits were broken. Why? They had the power of God residing in them. The power of God now is brought to play upon my bad habit. And I can say, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the difference. That's the difference. A new way of life, on a new pathway, with a new leader for your life, the Lord Jesus Christ. I like something that has happened when you get saved, the inner desires of your heart. You know, the old man is still in every one of us, not a person in this room this morning that doesn't have an old Adamic nature. You know what Adam and Eve received when they sinned in the garden? That condition that existed in them after they had sinned, every one of us in this room has that old nature. Has a nature that will rebel against the authority of God. Has a nature that will disobey what God has told us to do. Makes it hard, doesn't it? Yes, it does. I read a book by Brother Harry Ironside one time, dealing with Paul. He was talking about the old nature and the new nature, and he likened it unto two dogs. Here's one, here's another. Good dog and a bad dog. He said, which one of those dogs do you think is going to react and do what he's not supposed to do? He said, the one I say sick him to. That's how it's going to happen. You know, we can yield to the old nature. And I'm telling you, as a rule, if the Spirit of God is not filling us, then we're going to read about that. If the Spirit of God is not controlling, you will be controlling. I'm telling you, beloved, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't control your own life. Christ in me, the life which I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I've known people that get out of fellowship with the Lord. It happens all the time. Some of us will have to confess, yes, I've experienced broken fellowship with the Lord. The only way to get restored is to confess what I've sinned. I like what comes next. He is faithful and just to forgive you of that wrong direction you took, what you did, what you thought. He wants you restored to him, to a place of fellowship and communion. He's faithful and just to forgive you, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It's wonderful to be clean spiritually, in fellowship with God. You know, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me when I pray. Some people say, I pray all the time. You do? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Got any sin in your life that hasn't been confessed? Is there anything you've done? Anger? Something you hurt somebody or what? Well, I think so. Well, you better get that straightened out first. If you want God to hear you, you've got to be pure and holy in your soul. You can't hide sin and in your soul from God. You might hide it from somebody else. Can't hide it from God. I know I was reading in Peter's epistle just this weekend and telling me about men that sometimes abuse their wives and do all sorts of things. And I've known Christian men that abuse their wives and their children. And it says, because Peter, I believe, knew this by experience, perhaps, God will not hear you. That will hinder your fellowship and communion with God. The way you react to others in your family and others. It's broader than just your family. Well, there's been renewal. Things are different in my life now. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You know, I've heard people talk about holiness as if it was something as bad. Your holiness? You feel holy in your soul? Yes, yes. There's that sense of holiness. Being like God, having God in my life. God is pure and holy and righteous. Those that come into his presence must be just like God. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ does for us. He makes me just like him. Christ in me. Remember, I was crucified with him upon the cross. Everything that I was that God had rejected, God hated in me, Christ died for that. Doesn't that make you feel bad when you do something that's not God-like? Would you feel bad about that? I do. I feel bad. That's not the Lord working. That's not the Spirit of God functioning in my life like he wants to. Now I've grieved the Spirit of God. I have grieved God. You know, if you want to follow something interesting, take the word grieve and follow it through the scriptures. You know, in Noah's day, when the Lord looked out upon the world and mankind and how it had gone downhill, I'm telling you, it was bad. Some people think it was better than it is now. I don't see how that can be. Hardly. But it says something. It says that God was grieved that he had ever created a man. You know, if you started something, a project, if you were a skilled craftsman and you were building something, say you were one of those people that knows how to fashion things out of stone, and you were making something, and you took the hammer and you hit it, and wow! It came apart! All my work, all of my efforts are in vain. Now I've got to start all over again. Well, God started all over again. He destroyed mankind from the face of the earth. One but eight souls saved. Noah and his wife, his three sons, and their wives, that was it. But you know, I got to thinking about it. Noah was a righteous man. I know God had this. God is not caught without knowing what's going to happen. He had to start all over with the same thing that caused the problem. Poor, lost mankind. These souls that are going to start mankind again on the face of the earth. The same thing that caused me to act and destroy the whole world with a flood. That's what I'm starting out with. And you know what happened. And I read in this passage that we've just had, putting away all of these things, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And I read that indeed the Spirit of God can be grieved because of our conduct. Isn't it something? The poor mortal being, so weak, so fragile, so vulnerable. And he has the power within him to grieve God who created him. I tell you, that's something to think about. I've thought about it many times. Some human being like me, like you, and we can create something in our lives through our action that grieves God. God is grieved over what he sees in the world today. He still sees mankind still going down that broad road that leads to destruction. And it grieves him. Some of the things that are mentioned, be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Everybody gets angry. It's an emotion just like love. You tell me you don't get angry and there's something wrong with you, you must be dead. We do get angry. Anger wells up in your soul. You look at what's going on in the world, you see injustice, and you see so many things, you're angry. That's natural. But set it right with God before the sun goes down. That's what this passage is talking about. Don't give place to the devil. Listen, he doesn't need an edge. He can take you any time that he wants to when you let your guard down. You start taking Satan, you start taking him lightly. He don't matter. Oh, he don't. Oh, he don't. Well, the scripture tells us in the sixth chapter of this book, you put on the whole armor of God. Because if you don't, the devil, who is your enemy, who is a real enemy, and he does have power, beloved. He does have power. Evil. He can keep men in spiritual darkness. He can keep men in chains and bonds. Keep them captive and hold them there by his power. And only God can release them. Don't take the devil lightly. just something that evidently in Paul's day it was a real problem about stealing and so forth. He said, don't steal anymore. And that could be a whole message in itself. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Corrupt communications. People talk a lot. Do you know that people talk a lot? I'll guarantee you, if you drive down the highway and you look up there in front of you, somebody got something up like this. He's talking. Can't even drive down the road without talking. About what? If you only knew what they were talking about. Something that is absolutely so silly. It just makes you sick to think about it. People like to talk. And so much in the way of corrupt communications, lying, deceiving each other. I think about something that we don't like to hear is gossip. Gossip is a deadly thing. And I'm going to sum all of this up by reminding you how important it is to read verses 30 down through 32, grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know, there was a day and a time when if someone put their seal upon something, that meant that they had looked at it, examined it, they had claimed it as being their own. And everybody knew it. And it would be unlawful for you to break that seal. Well, you know, every child of God, just as surely as we're in this room this morning, has put his seal upon us. We've been sealed with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God indwells us. He fills us. We dare not meddle with that. I'm divine property. I'm not my own. I was purchased with a price. You know what the price was, don't you? You know what the price was. The precious shed blood of the Son of God. He hung upon the cross, put to an open shame for you and for me. That's why you belong to Him, because you accepted Him and God accepted you in Him. Don't you take that lightly. Don't you go around saying, I'm my own man. You belong to Him. Every one of us that know Him, we belong to Him. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. We bear the seal that marks us out as being children of God. My Heavenly Father, the lover of my soul. Now, when I read these other verses that follow, you know, when you read something right at that moment, I purpose not to let that happen to me. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know, have you ever noticed, right when you're reading something like that, and the Spirit of God condemns you of it, I'm not going to let that happen anymore in my life. Man, that is good. And God can make it possible if I just yield to Him. If I just yield to Him. But sad to say, you know, when we're out on our own, but we're never alone, are we? The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. The great shepherd of the sheep, He accompanies me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Thou art with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me so much. You know, Let's read the Scriptures, let's believe the Scriptures, and let's obey the Scriptures and reap the benefit. And listen to this. Be kind one to another. Be kind to each other. Show loving mercy toward each other. Quit finding fault with each other. Be kind to one another. Gracious to each other. Tender-hearted. I got a hard heart. What I say, I mean it. You can tell they're speaking out of the flesh. The old nature's talking. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I'll ask you a question right now. Do you know anybody? Do you know anybody that's ever done anything to you? And you've been holding a grudge against them. You haven't forgiven them. You say they don't deserve forgiveness. Well, God says they do. If you're going to be happy, if you're going to be rejoicing in this new life you have in Christ, you've got to forgive them. You say they don't deserve forgiveness. Let God take care of that. Read this verse. Read these verses. You're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Jesus has touched you, and you're different. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the Word of God. And we thank Thee for the Word of God that has revealed the love and the grace and the mercy of God. It revealed to us the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for him and what he's done in our lives, what he's doing every day, what he wants to do. He wants us conformed to his very likeness. Praise God, one day we will be. And we give thanks for it in his precious name. Amen.